into 1 Samuel, please. Continuing in 1 Samuel chapter 10, please. Just a recap, Samuel has announced to Saul that Saul is going to be the king of Israel. The news hasn't really been made public yet, so it hasn't. The Lord is still very much working on Saul and preparing Saul for when he will be king. I'm going to take up a reading in 1 Samuel 10 and verse 6. This is Samuel speaking to Saul. "Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy and be turned into another man. And let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do." So it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. When they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, that's upon Saul, and he prophesied among them. And it happened when all who knew him formerly saw that he indeed prophesied among the prophets, that the people said to one another, "What is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" Then a man from there answered and said, "But who is their father?" Therefore it became a proverb, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" And when he had finished prophesying, he went to the high place. Then Saul's uncle said to him and his servants, "Where did you go?" So he said, "To look for the donkeys." When we saw that they were nowhere to be found, we went to Samuel. Saul's uncle said, "Tell me, please, what did Samuel say to you?" So Saul said to his uncle, "He told us plainly that the donkeys had been found, but about the matter of the kingdom, he did not tell him what Samuel had said." We'll end our reading just at the end of verse 16, and we pray that God will speak to us from his precious word this morning. God has, by this stage, shown Saul that he has chosen him to be king. And that's as far, really, as the story has got to. But of course, if Saul is going to be king, this is not something he's going to be able to do in his own strength, lead the people of God. Obviously, to be able to be king and to be effective in this role, he's going to need the help of God. He is going to need to be gifted and empowered by God. And so that's the next stage for Saul. God is going to show Saul that he's not going to do this in his own strength, but rather that he's going to gift him for this important role, this new role as king over Israel. And God does this in a very amazing way, because we see here that as Saul is on his journey, making his way, suddenly he meets a group of prophets. And for the very first time in his life, we're told there in verse 10 that Saul starts himself to prophesy. Verse 10, when they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon Saul, and he prophesied among them. So what is God doing here? Well, I believe God is showing Saul that he is going to gift him. His spirit, his power is going to gift him for the task that lies before him. He's not going to have to do it in his own strength. And God gives Saul an example here, because suddenly the Spirit of God comes upon Saul, and Saul is able to prophesy in an amazing way. He meets this group of prophets who are prophesying, and suddenly Saul starts to prophesy amongst them. And it's very interesting to look at the reaction of the people who knew Saul. We see that in verse 11 and 12. And it happened when all who knew him formally saw that he prophesied among the prophets, they said to each other, "What is this that has come upon the son of Kish?" That was Saul's father. "What has happened?" they were saying. "What has happened to Saul? What has happened to the son of Kish? How is it that we now hear him prophesying? Is Saul also among the prophets?" Verse 12, "Then a man from there answered and said, 'Who's their father?' Therefore it became a proverb, 'Is Saul also among the prophets?'" So whenever the people heard Saul prophesying, this was something out of the ordinary. This is something that they never had expected. They said, "What has happened to the son of Kish?" In other words, what they were saying, Saul's father wasn't a prophet. None of his family prophesied, and suddenly we hear him prophesy. And what they were also saying was, this is different for Saul. This is new for Saul. This is not something we would expect from Saul. Saul was used working at home with his father, minding the animals and so forth. And how is it that he's now prophesying? And the people were confused by it. So they were. But we're not confused by it. We know why Saul started to prophesy, because the Spirit of God had come upon him. Verse 10, it says clearly, the Spirit of God came upon him and he started to prophesy. The fact that he started to prophesy, it wasn't because he had a natural ability to do that. He didn't. It wasn't that it was hereditary, that it ran in the family line, because it didn't. And his friends make that clear. They say, "What has happened to the son of Kish?" In other words, his father wasn't a prophet. How is he able to prophesy? And so we see here that the reason he was able to prophesy was because the Spirit of God had come upon him. The Spirit of God had gifted him to do this. The Spirit of God was now gifting him to serve. Gifting him to serve in a way he had never served before. And God was showing Saul, as you go on to be king, you're not going to do it in your own strength. I am going to gift you to do it. So I am. The fact that Saul was now prophesying was so out of the ordinary that we see in verse 12 that a proverb developed. And the proverb was, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" And following on from that, whenever a person was found doing something or serving in some way that wasn't the norm, this proverb would often be quoted, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" It was such an unusual thing to find Saul prophesying. But we know why, because God had gifted him. Saul was gifted by the Spirit of God to serve. Gifted by the Spirit of God to serve. And that teaches us something very important. It teaches us, friends, that God gifts those people whom he calls. God gifts and empowers those people whom he calls to do what it is he calls them to do. That's what we learn from this. We also learn, don't we, that God will ask you to do things you've never done before. God will ask you to do things in terms of service for him that you have no experience doing. But he will gift you to do those things. So he will. And I think that is something, folks, that the church today needs to think about, needs to grasp. That with God, all things are possible. I have never taught a Sunday school class, so I never will. That's not the case with God. I have never been involved in outreach, so I never will. That's not the case. God took Saul here, a man who had no experience, no family history of doing what God was going to have him do, and God gifted him to do what he wanted him to do. So friends, this morning, don't close the door to anything. But to start to think, what is it God is asking me to do in my church? What way is God asking me to serve? Don't think in terms of what you've done before. Think in terms of what needs done and what God is asking you to do. Because we see clearly here that the Spirit of God empowers those whom God calls to serve and to do what he wants them to do. So Saul was gifted by the Spirit of God to serve. Here we see him serving by prophesying. That was a gift of service, so it was. Gifted by the Spirit of God to serve. What is God going to gift you to do in the future? In what way is God going to gift you to serve in the future? But something else really important. Saul was motivated by the Spirit of God to worship. It wasn't all about serving. Look at verse 13. It says, when he had finished prophesying. When Saul had finished prophesying, when Saul had finished serving, when Saul had finished serving, what did he do? It says he went to the high place. He went to the high place. And it's almost like a throwaway detail. But why is it there? When Saul had finished prophesying, he went to the high place. The high place, it would appear, may have been a former Canaanite center of worship. It had probably now been taken over by the Israelites and had now become a center of worship for the Israelites. Because we read about the high place also in chapter 9 and verse 12. Remember whenever Saul met Samuel first of all, and Samuel announced to him that he was going to be king, Samuel was on his way to the high place to offer gifts and sacrifices to God. So the high place was a place associated with Israelite worship. So it was. And it says, whenever Saul had finished prophesying, he went to the high place. He went to worship. He went to worship. Yes, he was gifted by God to serve, and he served. He was prophesying. But when he had finished serving, he went to worship. He went to worship. And that is so important, friends. Service and worship, they go together, but they're two different things. Two different things. We're going to look at that verse in Matthew 4 tonight, God willing. Matthew 4 and 10. Whenever Jesus was being tempted by the devil, and in the final temptation, Jesus responded to Satan and he says, "Away from me, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only you shall serve." You shall worship the Lord your God and him only you shall serve. So worship and service are two different things. So they are. And sometimes what happens is that we make the mistake of blending them together. We make the mistake of substituting one for the other. We sometimes make the mistake of substituting service for worship. I'm serving, so I don't need to worship. I'm busy serving, so that's enough. I would say if we have to choose, we choose to worship. It is for worship that we were created and made. We mustn't substitute our service for worship. Saul didn't. When he had finished prophesying, finished serving, he went to worship. He was motivated by the Spirit of God to worship. And I think it's a very powerful thing, a very powerful witness. When you see someone who's involved in service and in serving, when you then see them in the house of God worshiping, that's so powerful. So it is. It's such a powerful witness whenever the young people that you work amongst in the youth, or the young children that you teach in Sunday school, or the mums that you move amongst at Mothers and Toddlers, or the people that you rub shoulders with at the Granville Outreach. It's such a powerful witness for those children, those young people, those people, then to see those same people in the house of God worshiping. That's so powerful. I always will remember our brother Leslie. Leslie, with such a heart for evangelism, such a heart for the people of Blackwater Town. Often busy knocking the doors in Blackwater Town. But can never forget looking down the church and seeing him standing, lifting his hands to God in worship. That's such a powerful witness. So it is. Yes, to be serving. To be serving in whatever way God has called you to serve. But then to recognize, you know what? My main responsibility is to worship. To be in the house of God worshiping your God. Such a way. It adds credibility to your service, so it does. It says to the people that you serve amongst, you know what? For this person, it's real. It's personal. Because they're not just telling me what to do in the youth club or in Sunday school or wherever. Yeah, they serve faithfully, but you know it's real for them because I see them in church worshiping. They've got something real. Saul was gifted by the Spirit of God to serve. He was motivated by the Spirit of God to worship. And then in verses 14 and 16, he meets his uncle. Remember, Saul has been away from home for quite some time. He's been looking for these donkeys that keep coming up, so they do. And on his journey here, he meets his uncle. Let me just read verses 14 to 16. Saul's uncle said to him and his servants, "Where have you been?" So Saul said, "We've been looking for the donkeys. When we saw that we couldn't find them, we went to this man Samuel." And Saul's uncle said, "Well, tell me, what did Samuel say?" Saul said to his uncle, "Samuel told us that the donkeys had been found. But about the matter of the kingdom, Saul didn't tell his uncle anything that Samuel said." So we have this encounter here between Saul and his uncle. Maybe his uncle has been sent out to look for Saul because he's been away so long from home. His father has been worried about him. And his uncle meets him and he says to Saul, "Saul, where have you been? What have you been doing all this time?" It's very interesting what Saul mentions and what he doesn't mention. He mentions the donkeys, so he does. These donkeys are just etched on his mind. Everywhere he turns, he's thinking of these donkeys. He mentions the donkeys, all right. Because let's remember, this whole thing started out with Saul looking for a few donkeys that were lost. It started out very normally. It was just very everyday. It was just another day for Saul. The job on the farm today was go and look for the donkeys, for they're lost again. And Saul knows that this is how this whole thing started. But my, look what started. Since I went to look for these donkeys, I've met this man Samuel. He has told me from God that I'm going to be king. I have received a new heart. I've even been given a gift and ability to prophesy. And it all started with me looking for a lock of donkeys. These donkeys, he can't get away from it. And he mentions them to his uncle. "Where have you been, Saul?" "I've been looking for the donkeys, you know. And when I couldn't find them, I went and asked Samuel." You see, I think the reason Saul is so mindful of the donkeys is because he realizes he has done nothing to bring this all about. But he recognizes that God, in his sovereignty, has guided him and led him all the way. I mean, Saul didn't set out to find Samuel. Saul didn't set out to become king at all. Yet God came upon Saul as he was out looking for these donkeys. And God led him and God guided him. God took him to Samuel. God showed him he wanted him to be king. God changed his heart. God gifted him to prophesy. God did it all. And Saul's so aware of that. He's so aware of how God has guided him from just looking for a few donkeys. You know, sometimes people will say to me, "Colin, I'm afraid of missing what God has for me. Colin, I'm not sure that I'm in the right place. I'm not sure I'm in the right job even. I'm not sure I'm in the right church. I'm not sure I'm in the right relationship. I'm afraid of missing what God has for me." What I learned from this is that it's God who guides us. And what I would say to those people who are afraid of missing what God has for them, afraid of being outside of the will of God, what I would suggest is you stay where you are. You stay in that job that you're in unless the Lord is showing you otherwise. You stay where you are. If it's looking for donkeys, you keep looking for donkeys. If it's milking cows, you keep milking cows. Whatever it is, unless the Lord is showing you otherwise, you stay where you are, because I see a God here who's more than capable to come to you where you are and to put his hand upon your life and to lead you to where he eventually wants you to be. That's the kind of God I see here. A God who in his sovereignty guides us. So he does. I see it in my own life. So I do. God's hand upon my life, guiding me to where he wanted me to be. So you stay where you are. You open yourself to the will of God. Ask him to lead and to guide you. And he will come to you where you are. And he will take you to where he wants you to be, as he did with Saul. He mentioned the donkeys. So he did. He was so aware of how God had guided him. He was so aware of the grace of God as well. You know, Saul forever will remember, "You know what? I did nothing to deserve this. There I was just getting on with things. This is all the grace of God. This is all that God came to me. God came looking for me. God came and put his hand on me." So he did. And that's the same for every believer here this morning. You did not go looking for God, as Saul did not go looking to be king of Israel. God came to you. God found you. God chose you. God put his hand upon your life. It's all of grace, every bit of it. But you notice he didn't mention the kingdom. You know, his uncle said to him there in verse 15, "Saul, tell me, what did Samuel say to you?" He didn't tell him at all. Oh, he says, "Samuel told me the donkeys were found." But Samuel told him so much more. Samuel said, "Saul, God has chosen you to be king. Saul, the favor of God, the favor of the people is upon you. Saul, God is going to change your heart. He's going to give you a new heart." He didn't tell his uncle half of it. It says in verse 16, "But about the matter of the kingdom, he didn't tell his uncle what Samuel had said." I wonder, why did he not? Why did Saul not tell his uncle everything? Why did Saul not tell his uncle all about the kingdom, all about Samuel announcing to him he was going to be king, and Samuel telling him he was going to get a new heart? Why did he not tell his uncle about the matter of the kingdom? Well, maybe Saul didn't fully understand it. Do you think Saul understood it all? Not a bit. Not a bit of it. Going to be king? Such a modest man at this stage. Maybe he didn't understand it all. Maybe that's why he didn't tell his uncle. Maybe he thought his uncle wouldn't understand it. Maybe he thought his uncle would think he was deluded. And I think it's sad that it says here, but about the matter of the kingdom, he didn't tell his uncle what Samuel had said. He didn't tell him about the kingdom. And friends, I find that a challenge. Sometimes I meet people and I don't tell them about the kingdom. Don't tell them about the kingdom. And sometimes, friends, it's the same reason as Saul didn't tell his uncle about the kingdom. Because I'll be honest, friends, sometimes I don't understand at all about the kingdom. I don't understand it all. And sometimes that's why I don't tell people. And sometimes I don't tell them because I think they'll not understand it. They'll not be interested. Friends, don't wait till you understand it all. Don't wait till then. Don't wait till you think they will understand it. Let's go out and tell people about the kingdom. About the glory of the kingdom. About how we get into the kingdom. We may not understand it. We will never understand it this side of eternity. We are all works of in progress. But yet, as Gareth reminded us from the map this morning, we're called to go into all the world and to tell people about the glories of the kingdom. Friends, let's do that this week. Let's learn from Saul here. It says he didn't tell his uncle about the kingdom, just told him about the donkeys. Let's go out and seek to tell people about the kingdom. Because you see, the thing about not understanding at all, the thing about not understanding at all, friends, is that it leaves room for God to come in. Makes you depend on God to take what you say and to use it. You know, if I understood it all, it could lead to pride in my own heart. It could lead to me thinking, I can convince this person because I understand it all. I can convince them with my argument. Leaves little room for God. But the fact we may not understand all concerning the kingdom, it leaves us reliant on God. Let's go and tell those people concerning the matters of the kingdom. Let us pray.